Blog Talk Radio.
Tune in. This is Watchman on the Wall, End Time Internet Ministry, giving you the message that comes from heaven and from the Word of God. That is, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. Jesus Christ suffered and died on Calvary's cross for our sins. He paid the price 2,000 years ago. When he paid the price, God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. That includes the whole world. That includes 7.8 billion people and the ones that have died and gone. It includes the whole human race from Adam all the way over to the end of the millennium reign. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He don't have no more sons. He don't have no more sacrifices. He's not coming back down here again to die for humanity. He died it once and for all. And that means that if you have an opportunity to accept him as your Savior, one thing you don't want to do, one thing you never want to do, you don't even want to think about doing it, and that is rejecting the blood sacrifice that Jesus Christ made 2,000 years ago and willingly, ignorantly, and maliciously continue to live in sin, live in degradation, living in your own way, living in your own thinking, living in your own attitude, living in your own sins. And if you die in your sins, you will have to pay for your sins. And when you pay for your sins, that means you will be separated from God forever. You must be judged, and then after you're judged, you will be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is all for all those that do what? Reject Christ. Reject the blood sacrifice. Reject his birth. Reject his miracle. Reject him dying and suffering on the cross. Reject him dying. Reject him resurrection. And reject him coming back again. And the world will have to face God in their own sins. In other words, if you die without Jesus Christ, if you leave this world without Jesus Christ in your life, you never accept him. If you live 20 years, if you live 30 years, if you live 40 years, if you live 50 years, if you live 60 years, if you live 70 years, if you live 80 years, if you live 90 years, if you live 100 years, and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, listen to me now, listen to me real good. If you reject salvation that only Christ brought, no other deity, no other God, no other demonic demon or whatever, no other religion, no other denomination can bring salvation. The only salvation that could be brought into this world was by God himself when he became man, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddled clothes, stayed on this earth 33.5 years, ascended back into heaven, been gone for 2,000 years. He's been gone. He said before he left that he would come back. And when he come back, he's not coming back to die no more for mankind. It's over. He don't gave man 6,000 years. He ain't going to give him another 1,000 years during the millennium reign. And the millennium reign is not coming until judgment comes up on the earth, and that judgment is the 70th week, spoken by Daniel the prophet. That's a 7-year tribulation in which Israel will be judged. And by Israel being judged, the Gentiles have an opportunity after the rapture of the church to accept him as Lord and Savior. But it's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. It's going to be devastating. It's going to be confusion. It's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be judgment falling. It's going to be 28 judgment falling up on this earth until the end of the seven-year tribulation. And so what I am saying, the main thing in the Bible, nothing else is more important than what Christ did on Calvary's cross. If you know the Bible through and through, Dr. I cross the T, you can know the Bible up and down, sideways. You can be a good church member. You can sing. You can shout. You can do all these things on your own. But if you have never received Christ in your life now, and you die without Christ, without the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is God Almighty in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost could not come until Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross and the fountain was open. He shed his blood. He went down into the bowels of hell, preached to those in prison, and God himself resurrected himself, came back from the grave with what? All power in heaven and earth in his hand. And now every human being that accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior can be saved. Every human being up on the earth that will accept Jesus Christ can be saved. Can be saved from sin, because the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And without Christ in your life, your sins cannot be set free, because it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to sanctify your soul. And if you accept him by repenting of your sin, confessing with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. You're not saved by works. You're not saved by good looks. You're not saved by your money you got. You're not saved by the color of your skin. You're not saved by your education. You're not saved by nothing. Nothing can save you. Nothing can deliver you from sin but the blood of Christ. Oh, my God. My God, my God. The blood of Christ. Going to church is not going to save you. Going to church is what? Fail not to assemble yourselves together for a matter of some is. You go to church to learn, to comprehend God's word. You go to church to praise the Lord. You go to church just not to give your money and sing in the choir. Amen. You go to church to learn and grow strong in the Lord, that you can be a witness for those that don't know Christ. The church is supposed to be a witness to the world. You hear what I said? Woo! People got church going wrong. Church is not for partying. Church is not for having a bash. Church is not for you just going to church, seeing who you can see, talk about people and criticize people. Church is not just something that's a traditional thing. Amen. It's not. It's a spiritual thing. It's a thing that God has called us to do, is to come on one day out of the week. One day out of the week, come to fellowship with him. You hear what I said? Come in fellowship with him. Learn about him. Talk about him. Praise his name. Give God the glory. Woo! And tell the world, hey, have power enough to go tell the world that the only way that honey, you can get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's it. That's it, brother. You can't work your way. You can't sweet talk God and telling him, let me slide in. You know, I don't want to accept your Savior, but let me slide on in there. You can't get in. God ain't going to let you in. He said to Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews, he said, look, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, Lord, look here, man. I'm old. I'm 70, 80 years old. Can I go back? Can I go back into my mother's womb and reduce myself down to a fetus and go back to my mother's womb and stay there for another 9 months and then come out again? No, Jesus said, no, what's born of flesh is flesh. So when you're born of the flesh, you cannot be born of the flesh no more. You're born of the flesh, that's physical birth. But Jesus said, ye must be born again. And being born again means you must be born of the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes into your life, you have to be a being. You have to be a human being, knowing what it is to receive Jesus Christ in your life. And Nicodemus thought he could go back into his mother's womb and be born again. That would satisfy. But that's not going to satisfy God, because God is a Spirit. And those that worship him, got to worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus said you must be born again. Don't give me this here stuff. You working your way to heaven, you ain't going to work your way to nowhere. Because a lot of people working in the church, oh, yeah, secretary, choir members, oh, you know, you got all kind of activities going on in the church, and you're doing all the things that's proper to do. But before you can get to heaven, you must be born again, because your works that you're doing, and if you haven't been born again, it's not of God. It has to be through the Spirit. The flesh cannot please God. The flesh is imminent against God. So a lot of people doing works in the flesh, God don't want it. God don't want it. God don't need it. God can't deal with it. What he wants is your spirit to come in contact with his Spirit, and that Spirit is the Holy Ghost. And you receive the Holy Ghost by what? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again, and repent of your sin and come to him in an humble way. Because if you don't humble yourself, you ain't coming in. Jesus said, except you become like a little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. So you got to come down like a little old child, repent of your sins, and be sorry that you have sinned against what? A holy God. A holy God, a God so holy that nothing sinful can approach him, nothing sin can touch him, nothing sin can live with him or abode with him. It's got to be righteousness. And the only righteousness that God can live with it is his own righteousness. And that righteousness that he has, he wants to give it to you through his son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he paid the penalty for sin. In other words, he paid for the sins of the whole round world. Now, if you can find me a man that died and rose again on his own power, then you got another Jesus. But there ain't no other Jesus that can do that. Jesus alone. God alone resurrected himself from the grave. Jesus Christ. Jesus means Savior, and Christ means anointed. When he came up from the grave, he said all power in heaven and earth is in his hand. So, my friends, I want to let you know it's good to have a church home. It's good to have a preacher that's preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and somebody that's concerned about your soul and not by his pocket. It's good to sing praises to God, because the Bible says if you're going to worship God, if you're going to honor God, if you're going to love God, you got to love him in the Spirit. You got to love him in the Spirit. And when you love him in the Spirit, the Bible says you know you pass from death to life because you love the brother. If you don't love your brother like God loves you, you got a problem. If you don't love your brother like God loves you, and the Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy strength, and love your neighbor as thyself. On this hang the law of the prophet. So let me tell you, some folks say they saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they don't love nobody but themselves. They talk about everybody else but themselves. They won't humble themselves. They won't submit themselves to the mighty hand of God. They have a half-hearted religion, a half-hearted way to serve God. But if you're going to serve God, you got to serve him all the way. Then the church of Laodicea, the church, the last church of the last church age, and we're living in Laodicea church age. He said, you neither hot nor cold. He said, I wish you would be hot. If you're hot, be hot. If you're cold, be cold. He said, but you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And let me tell you, he said, Jesus said, I'm standing at the door, meaning that he's on the outside of your heart. He's on the outside of heart, so you're playing a hypocrite. And a hypocrite is a person that says that they know Jesus Christ, but they have never had a powerful experience of a changed life through what? Repenting of their sins and coming to Christ and bow themselves before the cross and put the cross ahead of them, in them, on them. Why? Because without Jesus Christ dying and suffering on the cross, the whole world will go to hell. You hear what I said? The whole world will go to hell if Christ wouldn't have died. You hear what I said? If Christ wouldn't have died, and if Christ wouldn't have suffered, and if Christ wouldn't have came down here, if Christ wouldn't have given us opportunity to come to him, guess what? there would be no way you could get to heaven. No way. No way. If Christ wasn't the king, the Old Testament saints, would go to hell, and the New Testament saint would go to hell. If Christ wouldn't have came back from the dead. If he wouldn't have came back from the dead, if I would be alive, I wouldn't be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost now. Because Jesus Christ told his disciples, go back down to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And when he comes, I'm going to send you some power from on high. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall be a witness for me. Witness for who? Witness for Jesus Christ, and let the world know that he died and rose again, and he changed your life. He changed your life. He changed your life by his blood. His blood. His blood. B-L-O-O-D. The blood of Christ is the only way that a man can be saved. And I'm going to show you why. I'm going to show you why it's the only way. Look at what Leviticus said, and we're going to get into the subject, and we're going to have prayer. I didn't mean to go ahead of myself, but I'm going to say this. Let's go to the 17th chapter of Leviticus. Woo! It is a heavy scripture. It is a scripture you cannot deny. 17th chapter at the 11th verse. 11th verse. Woo! This is what God tell Moses in the Old Testament. This is before Christ even came. This is when, in the Old Testament, they used animal blood, animal blood, animal blood. What? To make an atonement for the sins of the people. Why did they use animals? Because the animal's life was in the blood, and the blood was a covering for the Old Testament saints, Old Testament saints. The reason why they used blood in the Old Testament saints is because the blood of Jesus Christ has not yet came. In other words, Christ was still in heaven. Christ didn't come until 4,000 years later. But in that time, animal blood was used as a sacrifice for the atonement for people's sin until Jesus Christ comes. And God Almighty would not accept the forgiveness of sin in the Old Testament unless the people sacrifice an animal and use the blood on the doorposts. Ooh, and use the blood on the doorposts for what? An atonement for the sin, because he told Moses, when you put the blood on the doorposts and when death comes by the night, when sin comes by, when degradation comes by, and if death sees the blood, death would have to go over the blood, and death would have to omit the blood, because it's only the blood of animals that men use in the Old Testament, and they used it for 3,000 years. They was killing animals. They was killing animals. They was killing goats. They was killing lambs. They was killing bullocks. They were killing red heifers, and they would offer that blood in the holies of holies, and they would go in there and use that blood as an atonement, and they had to do it, or Israel would be annihilated, because God would not forgive the people of the sin until the Reformation come, until the redemption plan come, until Jesus Christ come. And so that was occurring until Christ died, because, ooh, my God, because when Christ died, it didn't cover sins like in the Old Testament. They didn't have to go and use offers and sacrifices no more, because when Christ died, he died once and for all, and there's no more dying. And the blood of Jesus Christ does not cover sin. It takes sin out of you. It destroys sin in you. It omits sin in all of you. God said, I'll forgive you and forget about your sins if you get washed in the blood of the Lamb and cast them in the sea of forgiveness. 17th chapter of Leviticus says this, the 11th verse. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement. To make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. This is the Old Testament. The Old Testament. And the Jews was authorized by God Almighty because Moses was the one that instituted Judaism by what God had told him what to do. And he told him to use clean animals, clean animals. And the most unique animals that was used was a lamb, a ewe lamb, 3 years old or under 3 years old. The number three represent complete, represent a divine spiritual gift. It represents strength. 3 years old, they had to use a lamb. And that lamb had to be 3 years old or under. It had to have a perfect health report. It couldn't have no danger thing. It couldn't have no sores up on it. It couldn't have no bad teeth. The lamb had to be perfect in God's eyesight to what? To be a representative. To be a representative 4,000 years earlier of the Lamb of God. Lamb of God, because the Lamb of God was spotless. The Lamb of God was sinless. And so they had to use a lamb in his place in the Old Testament until the fullness of time come. God will do what? God will send his only son. His only son. Not the son of some deity. Not your son. Not my son. Not the son of Lucifer. Not the son of no demon. Not the son of nothing but the son of God. The son of God in Jewish teaching means the very God in the flesh. That's the son of God. Who is Jesus Christ? God in the flesh. Who is Jesus Christ? God in the flesh. Who is God? Who is God? Jesus Christ in the flesh. God became a what? Sin sacrifice. And the sin sacrifice had to be a perfect sacrifice, had to be a sinless sacrifice, had to be a sacrifice pleasing to God that man could be redeemed by what? His blood. Why? Because it says this, 17th chapter 11th verse, for the life of the flesh, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, you need blood in your body. You need blood every day. You cannot live without blood. Why? Because the soul is in the blood. Life is in the blood. The life of the lamb was in the blood, and they used it as a sacrifice and atonement for the sin because the life of the lamb was in the blood for a covering for man's sin. A covering for man's sin. Since lamb is not a human being, don't belong to the human race, but the lamb is a representative of a meek and humble animal that will not resist you. A lamb is one of the meekest animals and stubbornest animal that you can meet. A lamb won't do nothing but say, "Meh, oh, y'all ain't listening to me." You can kick a lamb. You can cut a lamb's wool off. You can do all kind of things to a lamb, and it won't do nothing. It won't do nothing. It won't kick. It won't. Oh, my God. Why? Because that lamb has a meek spirit, a meek spirit. And that meek spirit is a representative of what? Of what? Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. It's a representative of a type and shadow of who? Jesus Christ. If you don't believe me, that's, let me finish this here. He said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you. God said, Moses, tell the people of Israel, I'm going to give this, these lambs, I'm going to give you this blood that comes from the animals, giving it to you up on the altar to make an atonement, to make the right atonement for your soul. In other words, I'm going to apply this blood to your soul for a covering for your sin, because if you use this lamb's blood for a covering, I don't see your sins. I don't see your sins. And I'm going to cover your sins until what? The fullness of time comes. But I got to have this lamb to cover it. For it is the blood that makes the atonement. It's the lamb blood that makes the atonement for the sin of Israel. Because Israel was the only people on the earth that was in full contact with God Almighty through God calling Abraham and telling him, I'm going to make you become father of many nations. And out of these shall come a nation that will obey. He was referring to Israel. And Israel got up, came through the Red Sea, got down there by Mount Sinai. And before I think, ooh, my God, about a month time, they were rebelling. They were rebelling, and God said, I got to do something. I'm gonna eliminate the whole house of Israel. He said, Moses, go down and start what? Judaism. Judaism. And Judaism kicked in. When Judaism kicked in, God gave them the Ten Commandments and gave them 614 laws and told Israel, this is what you live by. Keep my commandments. You break my commandments, you're going to pay for it. I'm going to give you 10 spiritual commandments, and I'm going to give you 614 other commandments. On judicial law, I'm going to give you one on moral law. I'm going to give you one on everything that you need to know about what kind of God I am. I am a holy, 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 everlasting God, and I cannot tolerate sin for so long, but I sure can shower my grace out to give you opportunity to know what I recommend of you to obey. And old Israel did not obey, but God said, I will give you these animals as a sacrifice to cover your sin until the fullness of time comes. And now, after 3,000 years, Judaism was in power. Judaism was there. Judaism was one of the bloodiest way for God to use animal blood for the sins of the people. It caused people, sin caused people to what? Use animal blood for a covering for their sins. Because animal blood could not take away sin. And since animal blood could not take away sin, God still knew what was under that blood of those animals. And what was under the blood? Sin was still there. And as I said before, if it wasn't for what? If God was going to depend upon animal blood to take sin away from humanity, the whole conclusion of, he would have to put everybody in hell because he still could see the sin. He needed a type of blood that could wash away your sin, that could obliterate your sin, that could take the sin out of your spirit, man, and out of your soul and cleanse you, whiten it. No, he needed that kind of blood. He needed some blood that could destroy the works of the devil and all his demons and all his cohorts and all his evil ways. He needed that kind of blood. That kind of blood can only come through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one to take your sins away. You can't get no Clorox. You can't go down there and wash yourself every day and think you're going to get set free from sin. You cannot set yourself free from sin. The only thing that sets yourself free from sin is the blood of Christ, and you have to want to be set free before the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you and make you whiter than snow. I mean whiter than snow. It will make you a new creature. It will change your life. It will take that stuff out of you, and you become a new creature in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything become new. And once you receive the blood of Jesus Christ through the Spirit, guess what? You're saved, saved, saved. Why? Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing can keep you forever. It's forever. And, oh, Lord, have mercy. It's forever. Look here. I'm going to read that scripture one more time so you can get saturated in your spirit and in your mind. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God told Moses, I have given it to you up on the altar to make an atonement for your souls. Now, what do your souls do? Sin. For it is the blood and maketh atonement for your soul. So, religion can't make an atonement. Your mama, your daddy, your sister, your money, your prestige, your education cannot make an atonement for your sins. Your status quo. Nothing can make an atonement for your sins in the Old Testament. Nothing can make an atonement for their sins in the Old Testament but the blood of the animals, clean animals. Animals that were spotless. Animals that were healthy. Animals that was under 3 years old. Animals, they would take the jugular vein and cut right there where the heart pumps the blood out of it and take that blood and put it in heslin. And the only way they could escape Egypt, look or here, look or here, look or here. The only way Israel could escape Egypt, they had to obey what Moses told them to do. And he told them to take that heslin, put it in a basin, take that heslin and dip it, and put that blood on the doorpost above the lintel, on the side lintel, on the right-hand lintel. And he said, now, if you do that and you go inside the house when death comes at 12 midnight, when I see the blood, death said, when I see the blood, because God is not the God of death. The devil is the God of death. And when Satan saw that blood, he had to pass over the blood. He had to get away from the blood because the blood was the atonement for the sins of the people. And the only thing the people had to do was to believe it and go inside the house and wait till death passed that night. Guess what? There ain't no more animal sacrifices is going to be used. Yet still the Jews are still living under Judaism, and they think Jesus Christ wasn't sufficient enough for them to die. So in the last days, they're going to rebuild another temple. And they're starting it on it right now because they're trying to bring Judaism, but they can't bring it back because the animal blood cannot save nobody. The animal blood was just a type and shadow of the blood that's going to come from what? Emmanuel's vein. And if the sinner fall beneath the flow, he'll lose all his guilty stain. So in the 17th chapter of the 11th verse of Leviticus, it gives you the right rock bottom that without the blood of the animals in the Old Testament, you were doomed. You were doomed. You were doomed. 3,000 years, the animals had a problem. The lamb was having a shortage of lambs and bullocks and red heifers and two turtle doves. Even a turtle dove can be used for a blood sacrifice. But they tell me man was so sinful and so debauchery that they was killing animals and slaughtering animals and blood flowing on the altar and blood flowing over about 3,000 years it was flowing. It was killing. They were slaughtering. Until God said, oh, my God, my God. Sin caused a lot of bloodshed for the sacrifice of man's sin until 3,000 years were up. When 3,000 years were up, God said, that's it. That's it. And he said, I got to do something. He already foretold it 3,000 years before it happened. He foretold it in Isaiah. Let me show you what we say about this lamb. Amen. The blood, the lamb's blood. Let me show you something in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Let me read that for you. This is what Christ did for you. You can't do nothing for Christ to get saved. Christ did it all for you. The only thing you can do is come to him. Only thing you do is repent of your lying, your backbiting, your whoremongering, your unbelief, or every sin that you ever done. You can't sacrifice nothing in this world right now to satisfy and appease God for the atonement for your sins that you have done. Here's the answer. Let me show you the answer. The answer is right here. 53rd chapter of Isaiah. I want you to read this. I want you to get a load of this. And this is more than going to church. And I ain't got nothing against the church. I've been going to church all my life. But just going to church didn't save me. Going to church let me know, hey, from the preacher's pulpit. Because a pulpit is just not a stand behind a pulpit. A pulpit is what? Pulpit is a preacher trying to pull you out the pit. The Bible is your pulpit. And the Bible is trying to tell you, you need to come out the pit. And we know who the only one can bring you out of the pit. Look what Isaiah said in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, talking about this here lamb that was slain before the foundation world, talking about this lamb that was a temple and type and shadows in the Old Testament. He said, who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. It's referring to Jesus Christ. It's referring to Jesus Christ. The Lord's going to reveal him, and he will go up as a tender plant out of a dry ground. Here comes Jesus Christ, born in a manger. Come to a dry world, come to a dark world, come to a sinful world. And he came like a root out of a dry ground, and he grew up in Nazareth, a ghetto, and yet still, he was righteous. He had no sin. He did no sin, but he came up out of the dry ground. He come up in a messed up world, a messed up world that didn't even want him to come. And then some did want him to come, but there was only a few that accepted him when he came the first time. And the only one that was about five people that knew he would be born. That was Mary, Joseph, the shepherd boys, the three wise men. That's about 7 to 8 people. Amen. And Simon and Elizabeth knew that he was born, but there was no big banquet. There was no baby shower. There was nothing. He was born in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. When he was born, they tell me, heaven missed him. Because when Christ was born, God was not in heaven. God was on earth. His presence was in heaven. Woo! Listen, when Christ came, look what he done. Look what he done. Because when they got through with him on the cross, the Bible said he had no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire. When they got through with Jesus Christ on the cross, it was not beautiful. It was not beautiful. It was the worst beating that a human being could take. Yet still he was God. He was God in human, in the human race. He came on into the human race, walked like man, talked like man, is man. But he was God in the flesh. This is the first time God ever became human. This is the only time God will ever come human. He won't do it no more. It's not necessary. He can't do it no more. Why? Because he died once and for all. But when they got through with him on the cross, he was undesirable to look at. You could not recognize that he was the Messiah. You could not recognize that he was a little baby in the manger. You could not recognize him in the temple. You couldn't recognize him that he healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out the. You couldn't recognize him. And then when they beat him so bad, and then no man could look upon him, but yet still he is despised. Third verse, he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrow. Don't worry about your sorrow. Jesus had sorrows. Yes, he did. Acquainted with grief. And we hid as if our faces from him. He was despised. And we esteemed him not. Listen what this God man did. Look for you. For me. Look what he done. You can't do this. But look what he done for you with your wretched self, with my wretched self, with my crazy self, with my sin that I had, amen, thinking I'm somebody wretched. Sure, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was up on him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep are gone astray. Look at us. Look at it. That's crazy. Gone astray. And we have turned everyone to his own way. We're doing our own thing. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity. He laid all that old dirt on us. He laid all that dirt that we done. We laid it on him. He laid it on him. Laid that whoremongering, that adultery, that backbiting, that murdering, that idolatry, all them lies you done told, all the selfishness and greed. He laid it on his all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought, listen, he is brought as a lamb. There's that lamb to the slaughter. Took him to the slaughterhouse. Rome was a slaughterhouse. All the kingdoms of the world is like a slaughterhouse. And Jesus came at the time at the peak of the Roman government. And the Roman government was the most wickedest empire and kingdom up on the face of the earth. And Jesus came right in the midst of that. And the Roman government made sure that he died. Pilate made sure that he died because he didn't want to get his feelings hurt. He didn't want to be dethroned. So he said, I have no dealing with this. Who y'all want? Y'all want Barabbas or do you want Jesus? And they said, give us Barabbas. We'll let Barabbas live and we're going to kill this guy. We're going to kill this Christ. We don't want him. All that he done. Shed his blood for our wretched self. I just don't want to know. I don't understand. I don't hear people singing about the cross no more. I don't hear nobody saying near the cross. I don't hear nobody say down at the cross. I don't hear nobody, Jesus keep me. I don't hear because, number one, the devil knows that the cross is a way to get to God. You can't get to God unless you come by Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one that died and suffered on Calvary's cross, the slain lamb before the foundation of the world, the lamb that came down through 42 generations. The lamb that the world is saying now that he's not coming back. Oh, but I got some news for you. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back in power and in great glory. He's coming back to get a church without a spot or a wrinkle. He's coming back to bring judgment upon the world. He's coming back to redeem Israel. He's coming back to show the world that he really loves you. He's coming back to judge the wicked and the ones that are in the grave. He's coming back, my friend. And don't you forget it, because as soon, as sure as you're born, he's on his way. The reason why, because the world is on its last leg. The world is almost getting ready to close down. They tell me the seventh week, spoken by the Daniel, the prophet, is on its way. They tell me the Jews are getting ready to build a sacrifice temple. The Jews are getting ready to go back into Judaism and try to start to crucify, to kill lambs and sheep and turtle doves. But the Bible said it was led to the slaughter, led to the slaughter. And as a sheep before shears is dumb. And so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prisons and judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off and out of the land of living. Oh, yes, they cut him off. They cut him off at the cross. They cut him off when he rode through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass. But the week following, they cut him off. Yes, they did. They took him and let him. They let him go to the Garden of Gethsemane first. Before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he went in the upper room and gave the disciples the Last Supper and told him, this bread that I'm going to eat represent my body, and the fruit of the vine that I'm going to drink represent my blood. And they tell me, I don't know how long they stayed in there, but from there he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he stayed there for 1 hour and he prayed. Yes, he did. And he told the disciples, while I'm praying, I want you to pray with me. But the disciples went to sleep, and Jesus Christ said, now sleep on. I'm going down to the judgment hall now. And they tell me the Sanhedrin court and Judas came out. Here comes Judas. Here comes Judas, the betrayer. He betrayed Jesus. Don't you know you got Judases in churches today? You got Judases in church that's betrayed Jesus Christ. They have betrayed him. They have really given him up. They say they saved, but they ain't saved. They do the same old stuff they've been doing for years and calling themselves they know Jesus Christ. But they have put Jesus Christ in an open shame. Jesus Christ already had died for their sin, and they talking about they are saved and they still living in sin. And guess what? It's like a dog eating his own vomit. They done heard the word. They done been with the word. And guess what? They done got gospel hardened. Because a lot of folks in church, they don't hear the gospel so much until they don't harden their heart. The reason why they haven't accepted Christ as their Savior. In other words, let Jesus Christ come into your life and change you. But they don't want to be changed. They want to do the same old thing and call themselves a child of God. But you can't do the same old thing year after year and year after year and hour after hour and call yourself a child of God. What you talking about? If you've been filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost, you ought to be like Jeremiah. He said, whatever this is in me, it's like fire. I can't hold my peace. And if you've been born again, sanctified and cleansed and on your way to heaven, that not just by shouting and running all over the floor, but let me tell you, you know you've been passed from death to life because you love the brethren. This is what it says. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison to judgment hall, and from judgment, who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, the Jew, because the Gentiles didn't come into the offertory until the church age came, until God cut the Jews off. Cut the Jews off, he grafted the Gentiles up. So right now he's referring to Israel for the transgression of my people. That's Isaiah saying my people. And he made his grave with the wicked. He died just like not the wicked. He didn't die. He died with the wicked, but he didn't die like a wicked person. But he what? He took our sin and became a sin offering for us. So what we were, Christ became that and paid the penalty for sin. What did he pay it for? He paid for our sins, our low-down, conniving, cheap, selfish ways and attitudes that we have. And he became that. He became a murderer. He became a liar. He became a whoremonger. He became everything what we are, but yet he himself, without sin, paid the price for sin. And so justice requires a payment. And the justice said, somebody got to die in order for me not to cast him into hell fire. Somebody got to suffer. Somebody got to go down in the grave. Somebody got to come up on their own power on the third day. Somebody got to pay the penalty for sin. Because no man, no woman, no angel, no deity, no Nephilim, nothing had the power enough to pay for man's sin but Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is God Almighty, and God Almighty is a holy God. He's so holy that the moon and the stars and the galaxies is impure to his sight. He's so holy that he can't live with holiness. He can't live with anything unholy. He cannot dwell with unholy. He cannot look upon wickedness. Why? Because he's a holy God. And the only thing to wash your sins away, only thing that can not cover your sin, but remove sin, remove it, and cleanse you, and make you whiter than snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. And you got to come down to your bending knees and confess, Lord, I can't work my way to heaven. Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I can't be good. I can't be bad. Whether I'm good or bad, I still can't get to heaven. The only way that I can get to heaven is through repentance of my sins and confess my sins to you and believe that you died for me and believe that you can come into my life and change my life from darkness into the light. And when I receive you, I'm going to confess you to the world. I'm going to let everybody know that I've been born again, not of water, of flesh or blood, but I've been born of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Ghost, who is a he. And when I accept Jesus Christ, I accept him by faith, and guess what? The Holy Ghost is in Jesus Christ because he is God Almighty, and the Holy Ghost is God Almighty. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He all three in one. And Jesus Christ said, if you know me, you should have known my Father, because he, I and my Father are one. And he said, when you see me, you receive the Father in the Spirit, and the Father's in the Spirit is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now listen, 10th verse. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make a soul, listen, make his soul an offering for sin. Ooh, now, you remember in the Old Testament? Animals was atonement. Now here we got Isaiah saying, and put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul, who? Christ's soul, Christ's spirit, a what? An offering for sin. Christ's soul, Christ's spirit, Christ's body was a sin offering for our sin. He shall see his seed. What seed? The seed of the new birth that a sinner can receive, which is the Holy Ghost. That's the new birth. What? For sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant, who righteous servant? Jesus Christ. Justify many. Woo, who's many? Humanity. Many people shall be justified, for he shall bear. Woo, look over here. Jesus Christ bore my sins. You hear what I say? Jesus Christ bore my sins. Now, if he bore your sins, I know, if he bore my sins, and if you accepted him, that means he bore your sins. If you reject him, that means you got to bore your own sins. And if you bore your own sins, the Bible said the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, spiritual separation from God forever. Forever. Forever you will be separated from God Almighty through eternity in hell, because you have not received the blood of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. You detested God. You rejected God. You didn't have, want nothing to do with God but play with God. You want to go to church on Sunday and act like you this, and then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're raising hell. You ain't helping nobody. You ain't encouraging nobody. You ain't reading your Bible. You ain't praying. You ain't asking the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. What you doing? You just going to church on Sunday and remember the Lord on the Sabbath day, but the rest of the week you got doing your own thing. You going where you want to go. You don't go to Bible study. You don't want to help nobody. You going around hating folks. You go around picking out who you want to hate and who you want to love. But let me tell you, that's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost loves everybody because God is love. And the Bible said, if a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a stone white faced liar. And the Bible said all liars will be cast into what? The lake of fire. And there is a lake. There is a lake of fire. There is a hell. There's a Gehenna. There is a bottomless pit. There's a place called Tartarus. There's compartments inside the earth, that when you die, the sinners, the wicked goes to hell. H-E-L-L, they go to hell. That is not the lake of fire. It's the grave. Hell is a grave where all the wicked go. In the Old Testament, that's where the Old Testament went. They went to a compartment called paradise. Paradise is on the other side of hell, and in between paradise and hell, there's a place called the bottomless pit. And if you go to hell, you can see on the other side paradise. But paradise is no longer in the heart of the earth. paradise now has been removed and transferred from the earth's atmosphere and from the bowels of the earth into the presence of God. So when a saint dies, when a saint dies, when a born-again believer dies, not a church member. Now, you hear what I say? Not a church member. Just a church member don't go to heaven. It takes the birth of Jesus Christ in your soul through Jesus Christ. Why? Because he bore your sin. And if you accepted him, that means you gave your sins to him, and he washed them and made them whiter than snow and cast them in the sea of forgetfulness, and he don't remember them no more. So when he looks at your soul and your spirit, he don't remember nothing you done done. Why? Because you have been born again. Christ forgave you of all your sins. And you don't go out here practicing sin. You can sin, but you don't practice sin. You practice gambling, lying, cheating, backbiting, whoremongering. You're going out there taking drugs. You're going out there taking somebody's wife, husband. You're practicing sin, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, because when you receive Jesus Christ, you grow out of that stuff. It may take you years to grow out of it. But it depends on how fast you grow and how mature you come to become a what? Effective Christian. Because a lot of people are Christian, but they're not effective because they're still dingling dangling. They dangling around with the world. And you can't serve but one master. You can love one, hate the other, hate one, and love the other. Whatever you want to do, because your judgment day is coming. When if you are saved, you're going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to get rewarded to the works that you have done here in this body, whether it's good or evil. So Christians can do bad things because you got hard-headed Christians. You got backbiting Christians. You got backsliding Christian. You got Christians that talk evil. You got Christians. Ooh, my God, you got all kinds. You got weak Christians that can't turn from sin for nothing. The reason why? Because Satan has tried to trick them, and they don't want to get real rock bottom with God and ask the Lord, I want to be like you. I want to walk like you. I want to help somebody before I leave this earth. I want to encourage somebody before I leave. I'm going to forget about myself and think of others. Woo! And most people today think about themselves. I ain't thinking about nobody but myself. You are a selfish person. But you don't try to help nobody. You see somebody down, you jumping up and down, clapping. They going down the tube. Let me tell you, it is a sick world. It is a sick world. It is a sick world. And the church was supposed to be an example of the way God wants you to live. God wants you to treat each other. God wants you to pray to him. God wants you to admire him. God wants you to desire him. And folks today talking about they love the Lord. They don't love no Lord, because you love the Lord, you'll keep my commandments. You'll pray more to me. You'll love me. You'll adore me. My God. I did tell you exactly what Christ done. 12th verse says, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death. Who poured his soul? Who poured their soul out to death? Jesus Christ. Blood was poured out on Calvary. Jesus' blood was poured out on Calvary by your raunchy, low down, dirty sins. And I'm going to show you dirty sin, raunchy sin, damnable sin in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter of Revelation, 21st chapter, 6th verse. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life. He's going to give it to those that have received him. He's going to give it to those that love him. He's going to give it to those that have repented of their sins and have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He's going to give it to those that have been faithful through the blood of Jesus Christ and obeyed God and looking for Jesus Christ to use their life to be an example of what Christ wants you to live. Then he said, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. In other words, the only way you can become a son of God, a small son, a small S-O-N, is the faith that you put into Christ, the Son of the living God. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and the Bible says, be saved. And when you're saved, you're saved. You ain't saved half. You ain't saved three-fourths. You ain't saved 99 and a half. And can't get saved that way. You get saved both body and both soul and spirit. The body, amen, cannot be saved. It's flesh. And there's nothing good in the flesh. But when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to transform that body of flesh into a spiritual body. And that spiritual body will be what? Covering. Ooh, and you become a perfect spirit being. You will become a perfect spirit being. No more sin. Sin will be delivered when you be changed. And Apostle Paul said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. This is the church now. And the dead in Christ, those that died in Christ, I ain't talking about die as a church member, or die as a preacher, or die as a Sunday school teacher. I ain't talking about that. He said, those that died in Christ, those that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have had a divine change in their life by the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes in, there is a change. And it said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He shall be my everlasting son. Everlasting. I will live with the Lord God Almighty forever. I will see Jesus throughout eternity. I will be with God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And guess what? Never get tired. Never get tired. Never get hungry. Never get sleepy. Never get old anymore. No more wars. No more killing. No more murder. No more adultery. No more, no more, no more. Why? Because I will be in a perfect state according to God's power, the way that he exactly intended us to be. I'm striving for perfection. I ain't perfect yet. I'm striving for perfection. But I'll tell you one thing I can have. I can have perfect love. You know what perfect love is? Perfect love is those that have the love of God and love those that despitefully use you and curse you and do all kind of manner of evil. You love them because God loves you and all your mess that you have did against God Almighty. And God still love you. And God says, I so love the world that I gave my son that through him you can be saved and won't have to be punished in an everlasting fire forever because I love you that much. And I gave up my darling son, my only son. I had to leave heaven and come to a garbage dump. There's a lot of garbage down here, and there's still a lot of garbage. And the only reason there's a lot of garbage down here is because people don't want to accept Christ. They don't want to accept Christ. They want to go half-hearted. They want to go half and half. Ain't no half and half with God. Either you are cold or either you are hot. because the Lord God said in the church of Laodicea, you either hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you up out of my mouth. And if you are in Christ's mouth, you are a hypocrite. And a hypocrite is lost. But you got to be in Christ's heart. And the only way you can be in Christ's heart is that you have to let Christ be in your heart. And if he's not in your heart, you are a hypocrite trying to live a Christian life without God through Jesus Christ living by the Spirit. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God Almighty. You cannot please God until you believe and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. When he rose him from the dead, he gave his son power to walk inside of your life. But listen to what happens to those that want to live on their own but yet go to heaven. Those that live without Christ. It says, but the fearful, those that are scared, those that are scared to receive Christ, fearful. They are fear, they're scared to say, receive Jesus Christ. They're actually scared. They're scared of the life change. They don't want to be saved because of the life they live in. They love that life, so they're afraid that when they get saved, automatically, they know, amen, they know if you're going to get a change, you got to change from darkness to light. And if you're in sin, you're in darkness, and you don't want the light. So if you want the light, you're going to live eternity in darkness. And when you live in eternity in darkness, you are going to be in hell. H-E-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L, hell. And that's Bible, brothers and sisters. That's nothing but the Bible. And God is not trying to scare you into salvation. But he said, fear my name, because fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and salvation and wisdom. Fear him for what? Fear him to recognize he hates sin. And he hates sin so much that he said, I love you so much, I gave you my son so that you don't have to live in sin. Come to me, and I'll save you forever. But you say, I don't want to be saved. I'm scared to get saved. If I get saved, I'm going to leave my friends. I ain't going to be able to do what I want to do. So you're living fearful. The unbelieving, those that will not genuinely repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is an unbeliever. What did it say? Unbelieving. People say you go to hell for homosexual, you go to hell for lying, cheating, backbiting, you go to hell for smoking cigarettes, you go to hell for this, go to hell for that, go there. Yeah, you can say that if you want to. But if you go to hell, you ain't going because you smoke, drink, or homosexual. You're going to hell because you refuse the redemptive work and the power of Jesus Christ saving your soul from that. Because a lot of people come out of that. They didn't come out of that until they repented. So if you go to hell, you're not going for what you done. You're going to hell because you refuse to believe and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, brother, tomorrow night, Lord Jesus Christ. Tomorrow to eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't going to be no preacher jumping up talking about motivation speeches and sending your money and do all this your crazy stuff that people are doing and fake healing, fake tongue talking, fake shouting, fake all that fake stuff ain't going to get you to heaven. If you haven't been washed in the blood and have a changed life, you're an unbeliever. Listen to what it says, unbelieving. And the abominable. The wicked things that people do, abomination, sins that are gross, incest is gross, homosexual is gross, lesbianism is gross, all sins are gross. Talking about each other's gross. Lying on each other's gross. Abomination is sins that God hates. If I had the time, I would look in Proverbs and find the six sins that God hates. Y'all give me a little time here. Let me get this. You need this. Amen. In Proverbs, sixth chapter. Let's see what we can find. Amen. Sixth chapter of Proverbs. We will read the sixth sin that God hates. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Sixth chapter. Sixth chapter, 16 verse. Sixth chapter, 16 verse. These six things does the Lord hate. And seven are abomination unto him. Number one, a proud look is abomination. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devised wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among his brothers. God hates it. God cannot dwell amongst that. God will be people who does these things will be punished. That's abomination. All right. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers. Look at the murdering that's going on today. Ooh, people are murdering their mother, their father. They're murdering babies. They're murdering young girls. They're murdering their own relatives. Murderers. Murderers. Lying. Killing. He'll kill anything. He'll kill you for money. He'll kill you because you talk about it. They are murderers. Listen, murderers and whore mongrels. A whore mongrel, a man that under the skirt of every woman they take his makeup. There's a whole lot of whore mongrels going on in Hollywood. There's a whole lot of whore mongrels going on in what? In the church? Yeah, preachers. Pimp daddies chasing women, having babies by women, married and having babies by women, men, homosexual preachers, homosexual choir members, homosexual, what? Who are mongrels? Like a mongrel. Put their private thing anywhere. And the world is messed up, and it's trying to mess up the church. But I don't told you, devil, demons, and every cohort. Listen, Jesus Christ told the disciples, look, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You can go to hell if you want to. Some folks going to hell through the church. From the pulpit down to the basement, outside the door. We got folks doing all kind of wicked things inside that church, and that's why nobody can really get saved. Why? Because they're doing the world of things, and when a person comes in that comes from the world, they see all this shit crapping in. Man, I don't want this. I want to know how to live right. I want to know how to live holy. I want to know how I can please God and living and helping somebody. I'm not looking for myself. That's what kind of people God wants, sanctified people. Sanctified means what? It don't mean jumping and shouting. It don't mean speaking in tongues. It don't mean do's and don't do's. Sanctification to mean to set apart. To set apart. You can't set yourself apart. The only thing that can set yourself, separate you from sin and wipe out sin is the blood of Christ. It sanctifies you. It sets your soul apart from the world. Love not the world, neither the things that in the world. Whoever loves the world, the love of the Father is not in. And the only thing that can separate you from the world, although you're in the world, but you're not of the world, is the blood of Jesus Christ. It sanctifies you that you can be a witness of the power of God Almighty through his son Jesus Christ. Listen, whoremongering, it's in the house. Sorcerer, drug addicts, it's in the house. It's in the world. It's in Hollywood. It's in the government. It's in the economical system. It's in the religious system. Sorcerers, drug addicts, sucking drugs up the nose, putting it in their veins, taking it down the throat. Drug addicts talking about they're going to heaven. They ain't going to heaven. Hell is waiting for you. Why? Because you're walking in unbelief. You won't come to Christ. You're scared to receive Christ. Why? Because you're under the influence of drug and sex and money, and you're scared you're going to lose that. And you say, I'll gain this, but I'll lose my soul. I don't give a, you know what I'm saying. I don't give a, if I die and go to hell, I'll have my friend down there with me. Yeah, you're going to have your friend down there with you. And, buddy, you're going to be on fire, and you ain't going to have no time for a decent conversation. Why? Because the Bible said the worm never die, and there be she gnashing and gashing of teeth. You will be crying with no tears. You'll be hollering out, and there's only five things you're going to take to hell with you. You can't use a U-Haul, and you can't dig a hole big enough to put that junk in it and try to get to heaven, because you're not going. Because to tell me hell has enlarged itself, woo, and it has. And there's a saying that world is going to hell in a bread basket. Because the Bible said it is the Lord himself that sitteth on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants of is like grasshoppers. It's going to be like a grasshopper, a basket of grasshoppers be dropped into hell. Why? Because they refuse the blood of Christ. They refuse to repent. And repent means to turn from sin. I ain't naming it sin. Turn from sin. Sin is unrighteousness. Sin is to break God's law. If a man know to do good and does not, it's a sin. Anything that's done without faith is a sin. So what you talking about? Sin is what's going to drive people to hell, because they won't believe because of sin. They love it. They drink it. They suck it up like man sucking water through a straw. They drink iniquity like water. And when the world church takes its place, and the world church will take its place after what? After what? After the tribulation, the world church will break forth. And it's already in motion right now. And the motion was started in 1948. The WCCC, World Council of Churches, coming from Rome. The Roman Catholic Church is the authorization and the author of the world church, because the world church is fake. It's phony. Catholics are phony. Phony. Why? Because they will not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They think Mary. They think the Pope. They think kissing the Pope's hand. They think purgatory. They think all kinds of old wicked doctrines that come from the pits of hell, but they won't come to Christ. Now, I know that some people in the Catholic Church that will believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And Jesus Christ tells this church, come out from among them and be ye separated, says the Lord of hosts. Don't go to no pope. Don't go to no priest. Go to Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Fatima is not the way. Mary is not the way. Jesus Christ is the way. The only indecision between God and man is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer. No other name given among men whereby man can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. So the Catholic Church will end up as what? The world church. 75 years it's been forming from 1948 to 2023. 2023, we fall into the hand of Laodicea, the last church age, the last church age. And the last church age, you see the condition that it was. Let's go and see what kind of condition it was. I'm going to show you. Let's go to Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation, the third chapter, starting where? starting at the 14th verse. Listen what it says. This is the Laodicea church, the last church age that will form into the tribulation. When the tribulation starts, this church will be vacant of knowing anything about Jesus Christ. It will be people who have rejected Jesus Christ, because Christ is not going to take nobody out of this church except they be born again. If they ain't born again, they will be left here. And if they're left here, they will most likely link in to the world church. And the Pope now has made a restitution, has made a executive order that he wants to bring all the denominations together, all the occult religions together, everybody that call themselves have a religion, to link up with this world church, which is the world church, which is the body of Satan. Satan got his own church. Jesus Christ got his own church. And his church is consist of born-again believers. And Satan's church is consist of all unbelievers that have not been born again or have not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so when the rapture comes, Jesus Christ will take all those that's in these churches that have been born again. He will remove them from the earth in the twinkling of an eye. And the dead in Christ that have already died will be caught up. Did you hear what I said? They will be caught up into the air of what? The atmosphere. And they will be removed. And this year's church will be left here. And this is what they're saying about themselves. And this is what Jesus Christ says about this church. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that were cold or hot. So then, because I are lukewarm, half-hearted, unregenerated, call themselves Christians, call themselves knowing that they know Jesus Christ, but they don't. Jesus Christ said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. These folks' heart is far from God, but they name Christ. They name Christianity. He said, for thou art lukewarm, and neither cold or hot. I will. This is what Jesus said. I didn't say it. I ain't got nothing to do with this. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I can spit you out of my mouth, and I'm going to vomit you up out of my mouth, because you're actually making me sick. You're making me sick with your hypocritical self. You're making me sick putting on like you know the Lord. You don't know no Lord. If you know the Lord, guess what? You'll be speaking his name every day. You'll be worshiping his name every day. You'll be reading your Bible and getting into the word of God and finding out what God has you to do. But you're not doing that. You half-heartedly. You're doing what you want to do and forgetting about the power that's in the Holy Ghost, and you don't know the Holy Ghost because you don't have the Holy Ghost. I know some people say, I got the Holy Ghost, but let me tell you, you ain't got nothing. The Holy Ghost supposed to have you, because let me tell you, you let the Holy Ghost go if you had it, and that's what people say, I got it. No, you ain't, because if you got it, there's something missing. If you say you got it, something missing. What is it? Love. If you got the Holy Ghost, what's what? You got love. The Holy Ghost is God's spirit, and God is a spirit, and God is love. Now listen, I'll spill you out of my mouth, because thou said, I am rich. I got a whole lot of money. I'm in a big church. Increasing goods, you got plenty of goods. I have no need of nothing. Ah, look at that. You say, I don't need no salvation. I don't need Jesus Christ. I don't need to get saved. I don't need nothing. And know it not that thou art wretched. You know what's wretched? A sinner is wretched. Nothing but a sinner wretched. A child of God cannot be wretched. You're miserable. There's people talking about they know Jesus Christ, and they're on a verge of suicide. They're alcoholics. They're homosexuals. to everything opposite of what Christ is. Christ is righteousness. Christ is justification and faith. Christ is the Spirit of God in you working out your soul salvation, fear and trembling before God. Salvation is real. Salvation is genuine. Salvation, you might not be rich in materialistic, but you're rich in love, rich in mercy, rich in forgiveness, rich in keeping your faith and laying aside every weight and every sin, those are easy, instead of looking into Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, looking for what? His second coming. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come any minute, any hour, any day. I'm working out my soul salvation, trying to tell everybody that I know somebody who can save anybody. If you want it, you can have it. If you want it, you need it. If you want it, don't put it off. Listen, he says, thou art miserable and you're poor. Poor in what? Poor in spirit. And the Bible said, blessed are the poor, for they shall be filled. If you're poor in the spirit, you need Christ. You're blind. You can't see nothing. You can't see the cross. You can't see the suffering of Jesus Christ. You can't see him hanging. You can't see him drop his head between the locks of his shoulders. You can't see him going down in the grave. You can't see him getting up on Sunday morning with all power in the heaven and earth in it. You can't see him standing on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. You can't see him going back to heaven and sending the power. You can't see none of that. You're blind. I can see all that. I live by that. I believe that. I accept that. I lean on it. I depend upon it. Why? Because he did it. And nobody else could do it. Nobody else will do it. You're blind as a bat. Five things. We're going to close with this one. Naked. You're spiritually naked. Not physical naked, but spiritual naked. And if you're naked, that means you're absent of being dressed up. With who? Jesus. Jesus Christ will dress you up. Jesus Christ will save your soul and seal you with the Holy Ghost forever. And you can say, Abba, Father. And you can tell the world, I know I've been changed. You can tell the world, this fire that's shut up in my bone, I can't hold my peace. I got to tell somebody. He saved me from whoremongering. He saved me from drugs. He saved me from all my sin because I wanted to get out of this mess and I didn't want to go to hell. And I heard the gospel and I repented of my sin and I'm turning and I'm still turning. Why? Because sin will damn your soul. Jesus said, whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believeth not shall be damned. So if you die without repenting, if you die without being baptized with the Holy Ghost, if you die lost, you're going to bust hell wide open. Don't go to hell. Jesus warned you, and I'm warning you, don't go to hell. 18th verse says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and thou makest be rich and white in raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy niggas do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Anoint thy eyes with the Holy Ghost, that you may see. People don't see it. You know why they want to see it? They don't want to see it. If you don't want to see it, you'll die blind. And if you die blind spiritually, you're going to be blind forever spiritually. You are never, never, good God Almighty, you'll never experience the mercy, the love, the forgiveness, the salvation, the peace of God. You'll never experience it through eternity. The only one that will experience the love and the mercy of God and of Jesus Christ is that you must accept him. And when you accept him, you will find out from here to eternity how much he loves you, how much he suffered for you, how much he gave up his only son that you could live with him forever. But those in hell will never experience the power and the love of Jesus Christ in changing your life. You need it tonight. You need him today, because the rapture is right on time. This is the last church age I'm talking about, Laodicea. It's the third chapter. And the third chapter, what comes after three? Four. Three is the one of the strongest numbers in the Bible. We're going to talk about some threes and show you some things here. Three is mentioned in the Bible 467 times. It means divine wholeness, completeness, and perfection. Divine stamp of completion or fulfillment on the subject. Luke 22, the most impressive, is in John 21, 15, 17. In John 21, 21st chapter of St. John, let's get it, I got to read it. Amen, praise God. In John, the 21st chapter of St. John. It reads 15 to 17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him again, the second time, Simon of Bonjonas, son of Jonas, love thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto the Lord, Lord, thou knowest all things and knowest that I love thee. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This spake him signified by what death he shall glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Three. Three in the Bible represent perfection. There are 467 scriptures that covers the word three. Three represent 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth Jesus Christ spent. Three represent 3 days and 3 nights Jonah spent in the belly of the whale. The number three represents the three temptations that Jesus Christ had when he took him up into the mount and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he gave him three tests of temptation. Three represent harmony, wisdom, and understanding. The most powerful number in the Bible is 3. The numbers that we speak of, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, represent God's numerology into perfection. 1 is mentioned in the Bible 1,695 times. 2 is mentioned 703 times. 3 is mentioned 426 times. 4 is mentioned 488 times. 5 represents grace, is mentioned 270 times. 6 is represented as incomplete. Six is mentioned 190 times. 7 is mentioned 390 times, plus 7th, S-E-D-E-N-T-H, is represented 562 times. So we got this year numerology, because God is a numerology, but we're going to work with 3 right now. I can't give you all the 3s in the Bible, 467, but I'm going to give you something here that will stay with you before we leave. In the book of Hosea, Old Testament prophet, in the 6th chapter of the book of Hosea, give me a little chance here. I'll get it for you in a minute. Amen. Hold on. Hosea. Come on, Hosea. All right. Hosea. Here it is. 6th chapter of Hosea says this. It calls for repentance. Listen. This is Hosea, a minor prophet, speaking to Israel, letting them know what's going to happen in the future. And this is what's going to happen as I explain it through the holy word of God Almighty. It says, come, talking to Israel, not the church, talking to Israel. Come, let us return unto the Lord. For he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. This is the Lord talking to Hosea to tell Israel, this is what I'm going to do for Israel. First, he says, Israel, let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn, and he will heal us. What about Israel? God's chosen people. What Israel has went through ever since Egypt. Israel has went through more devastation of war and being annihilated from the face of the earth. It's the only nation on the planet that almost became extinct. Why? Why did Israel almost come extinct? Almost came extinct because they disobeyed God's word. They suffered because they disobeyed God's word. They wouldn't listen. The kings became wicked. The people became wicked. They began to take up on the pagan gods of the heathen nations. And they defied God's holy temple. They defied the marriages. They defied their children. They disobeyed God and went partying. They did what they wanted to do. And God told them, said, now, if you obey me, I will bless you. If you disobey me, I'm going to bring judgment upon you. And from the time of Egypt all the way up until 1948, Israel, the Jewish people, more of them being killed under the Hitler regime than any other part of history. Every nation in the world has tried to get rid of the Jews. You cannot get rid of the Jew. because those are people that God chose. And when he chose them, he told them, if you obey, I will bless you. I'm going to bless you anyway, but if you disobey, I'm going to let curses come upon you. And when Israel was dispersed from Jerusalem in 606 B.C. by the Babylonian Empire, and from the Babylonian Empire all the way down to the Roman Empire, Israel has almost been annihilated. And from that Roman Empire to 1948, the nations of the world wouldn't even let Jews go back to their homeland. The Babylonians spread them over the face of the earth. They made their graveyards with the Gentiles. They were boiled in oil. They were stretched. They were cut in half. They were burned alive. They were really persecuted, not because of the color of their skin, but because of the duty that they rejected that God wanted them to do. And God used those nations to chastise the Jewish people to let them know, you obey me or you perish. But God said, because of what I promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and what I promised Israel, that you shall suffer, but no nation will ever exterminate you because you are my people. And you was used by the faith of Abraham to what? To represent the God of heaven to all the heathen nations around you. You are supposed to be a specific people to show my holiness, show my omnipotent power, show my immutable power, show my omniscient power to the other nations to let them know that I am a God of the universe. I am the God of heaven. I am the all-powerful God. And I'm going to use you as a nation to represent my power, my holiness, my grace, my love, my mercy, my long-suffering. And if you obey me, I can show this to them. And guess what? Israel failed and was almost annihilated. But God said, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back as an awesome nation. I'm going to show the nations of the world. I'm going to show the church of the world. I'm going to show Jesus Christ. I'm going to show my own body, the church, that you are my chosen people forever. You will be the leading nation in the millennium reign. You will lead the nation. You will be teachers. You will be evangelists. You will be the nation of all the nations of the world. You will be the nation that will lead us into the millennium reign. And I'm going to bring you back, but it's going to take what? It's going to take me 2,000 years to do it. And here is what is Hosea saying. Hosea saying, come and let us return unto the Lord. That's Israel. For he is torn. He has torn. Israel has been torn apart, and he will heal. Israel is being healed right now. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. In other words, God says, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to bring you back into the land. And a lot of people say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel spoke about some valley of dry bones. These dry bones does not represent the church. It does not represent any other organization in the world. It represents Israel. Israel was dry. They've been dry for what? They've been dry for 2,000 years. They were scattered all over the face of the earth. And God gave Ezekiel a vision. And this vision was in the valley of dry bones. The dry bones represent the heathen nation, because the bones become dry because the Jews were scattered all over the face of the earth. And when they were scattered all over the face of the earth, they didn't have no land to go to. They couldn't go nowhere until a specific time in history. And Ezekiel saw the valley of the dry bones, and the Lord caught him by the locks of the hair. Good God Almighty. And he took him over the valley of the dry bones. And he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, if it's your will, these bones shall live. And he said, how are they going to live? And God said, Ezekiel, prophesy into these bones. And from in the book of Ezekiel, he prophesied from 606 B.C. He prophesied that in the last days, these bones shall be joined back together. And he said, I looked over the valley of the dry bones, and I saw dry bones. I saw bones everywhere. I saw bones in the north because Israel had scattered to the north. I saw dry bones in the south. They went down into the southern country. I saw dry bones in the east and west because they went scattered abroad. And Ezekiel called out, said, oh, ye dry bones, oh, ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. And when he spoke the breath into the dry bones begin to shake, they begin to rattle, and they begin to roll. And they tell me these dry bones, after the Holocaust, good God Almighty, after Hitler has scattered the bones all over the land, he had burned them, he had boiled them, he had roasted them, he had took the skin and made lampshades out of them, he had took the hair and used it for wigs, he had took the gold out of their mouth and melted it down and sold it. He took all the riches of the Jews and scattered them from the face of the earth. And the Lord said, oh, Ezekiel, don't you worry about these bones because I'm going to bring them back together. And when Ezekiel kept on preaching and he kept on preaching, and then they tell me in the valley of the dry bones, they begin to shake, rattle, and roll. And when they begin to shake and they begin to rattle and they begin to roll, they tell me the bones begin to look for each bone. They tell me the foot bone begin to look for the ankle bone. The ankle bone begin to look for the leg bone. The leg bone begin to look for the pelvic bone. The pelvic bone begin to look for the backbone. The backbone begin to look for the neck bone. And they tell me that represents the restoration of Israel. And when Israel stood up on the valley of the dry bone, he saw nothing but skeletons. And when he saw the skeleton, he said, now I'm going to put some sinews on them. I'm going to put some muscle on them. And then after I put the muscle on them, I'm going to put some skin on them. And when he put the skin on them, they recognized that it was Israel. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they tell me in 1948, when Israel became a nation, for the first time over the period of 2,600 years, the nations of the world recognized that the valley of the dry bone was back on their feet, and they became a nation. And when they became a nation, they tell me President Harry S. Truman said, they have a right to become the lead nations of the world. And from 1948 until 2023, Israel has become a nation, has been a nation for 75 years. And the 75 years represent a generation. And Jesus Christ said, I'm not coming back until this generation is fulfilled. And this generation is all fulfilled almost, because 75 years Israel is now a nation. And they became a nation in 1948. And since 1948, get this now, 1948. The Jews are back in their land, and they are restoring what? Everything that was scattered for 2,600 years. They're going to try to restore their temple. They're going to try to bring back all the old sacrificial offerings. They're going to try. They're going to try. To bring back Judaism. And in bringing back Judaism, they're going to rebuild a temple. And they're going to take animals and try to sacrifice them all over again to simplify that they still believe that animal blood is still sacrificed under Judaism. How are they going to do that? They're going to do this by building a temple. when they build that temple, when they build the temple, check this out. They cannot build that temple until the Antichrist comes. They can't build it till the Antichrist, but they're in the preparations of it now being built. They're ready to build it. They're ready to set the cornerstone. They're ready to build the altar for the sacrifice. They're ready for the menorah. They're ready for the five heifers that they're going to use to purify the temple and the people. They're getting ready for it. And the only time they can get ready is the Antichrist has to come. And since the Jews have not received Jesus Christ, they believe that the Antichrist is Jesus Christ. But he is not Jesus Christ. He is the son of perdition. He is the son of Satan. He's the son of the devil that the devil is going to use and claim that he is Jesus Christ. And the Jews are going to accept him because what? The Antichrist is going to make a covenant with them for 7 years. The 7 years will cover the 7 year tribulation. The tribulation cannot occur until Jesus Christ raptures the church. The 7 year tribulation cannot occur until Jesus Christ raptures the church. And now the church is blind. The church is asleep. The church is walking around in a daze, not recognize that the Jews are getting themselves together for the false Christ. But the church can't get ready for the true Christ, which already done died, laid in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And after he died, they tell me he's going to be resurrected from the dead. And here Isaiah said, after 2 days, after 2,000 years, good God Almighty, listen to what I'm saying. After 2 days, will he revive us? Yes, yes, Israel has been revived. For 75 years, they've been revived, and they're coming back. But they're coming back in unbelief. By them coming back unbelief, God is going to reveal them that they are incorrect in going back to the old sacrificial altar. He said, after 2 days, will he revive us? And in the third day, what is the third day? The third day is the millennium reign. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. During the time of the millennium reign, the Jews will live in God's sight. You hear what I said? God is not through with the Jew. He's almost through with the church, though. Jesus Christ is almost through with his body. Jesus Christ is almost through with saving those, because after the rapture of the church, if you don't be caught in the rapture of the church, you're going to be left here and we'll have to face the Antichrist under the Jewish power, and the Jews will what? Be the main culprits to what? Preach the gospel, because the gospel is going to be preached after the church is gone, because the church didn't really preach the gospel like God wanted it to be preached, because it got too many fake, phony, bald-headed preachers. Is not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're preaching motivation speeches. They're preaching money. They're preaching all kinds of different erroneous doctrines. They're teaching that Jesus Christ is not God Almighty. They're teaching that Jesus Christ is not really coming back again. They're teaching that Jesus Christ is not the finish of salvation. And that Roman Catholic Church, the Pope, is even saying now that the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not sufficient for salvation, because the Pope wants to be the Christ. He wants to be God. But the Bible said, don't have no other God before me. And if you have anybody other than Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you got another God before Jesus Christ. And since Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh, that's why Jesus Christ said at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of heaven. Sixth chapter of what? Hosea gives us. After 2 days, 2 days, 2 days to God is like 2,000 years. 2,000 years up. The last chapter of the church age is the third chapter. The third chapter is the end of the church age. What comes after 3, 4? So right now, we're living in the last church age. Christ is going to rapture the church. And after the rapture of the church, then the new world order, the new world church, the new world economical system, the new religious system will break forth, and the Antichrist will come, and he will make a covenant with the Jewish people, right? That's right. He's going to make a covenant with them and tell them, I will protect you for 7 years under my covenant, and this covenant will give the Jews to believe that this is Jesus Christ. But this man that's coming, this man that's alive now, is not Jesus Christ. He is the Antichrist, and he's alive today. He's alive today. He's alive today, and he's coming out of the Western Europe, European common market with the 10 toes and the 11 horns. Daniel saw 10 toes, and he had to switch from toes to horn because this 11th horn is the one that the Antichrist is going to come on, and the 10th country, listen, the 11th country that came into the European common market, which is the 11th horn, is Spain. Spain! Spain. And there's a man in Spain right now, and his name is King Felipe. He's the son of Juan Carlos. And Juan Carlos is a descendant from the David's throne and through the Spanish anarchy. And it came through Spain because Spain is the brother of Jacob. Spanish people are Esau's descendant. Jacob's people is the descendant of Israel. And Israel right now is uplifting Spain, in which they believe, Jews believe, he will come from Spain, and he will come from Spain because they already have initiated King Juan Carlos, the father of King Felipe, as being the king of Jerusalem. And when King Felipe comes to Jerusalem and makes this covenant with the Jews, he will be considered the king of Jerusalem, and he will be the false Christ. He will be the son of the devil, will take charge. The church will be gone. There ain't no such thing as no mid-rapture. Ain't no such thing as no post-rapture. It's a pre-rapture. Christ will take the church because Israel got a ministry to do. And I'm going to close with this. The ministry is found in the 7th chapter of Revelation. 7th chapter represents the 144,000 Jews that will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. After the church is gone, the Jews will preach for 3.5 years. After the 3.5 years, the Jews will be raptured into heaven, 144,000. After 144,000 through, the two witnesses will come, which will be Moses and Elijah, will preach the last 3.5 years, the time of Jacob's trouble. And the time of Jacob's trouble will be horrific and the most devastating judgment that ever will face on this earth. And it tell me it will be what? 3.5 years. 6th chapter of what? Hosea gives you 2,000 years are gone. There's another 1,000 years to be fulfilled. And that will be given to the Jewish people. Thank God. Thank God for Jesus Christ, because he is a Jew, and he's going to take care of his people. His people.